Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome everybody on Avs Friday, which is by itself a party.
The Colorado Avalanche, that's right.
And hopefully they'll clinch the Stanley Cup. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up, brought to you by
great landscaping companies. They plant, deliver, you can buy any kind of tree you can imagine. They're a great landscaping company. We use them, happytrees.co. It's not com, it's happytrees.co, as well as Denver Synogenics and Dr. Julie McCallan, who is single-handedly keeping Chuck alive. pretty much. You know, a lot to talk about in this Party Friday. The Democrats have reminded me of where the wild things are, right? They roared their terrible roars and they gnashed their terrible teeth and they showed their terrible claws, all because they can't kill babies, you know, which actually isn't
kill
even,
a baby.
Which actually isn't even true, right?
No, they can kill plenty of babies.
They can still kill plenty of babies. Meanwhile, the left or the right is celebrating, lots to celebrate on this Party Friday. We'll be talking about Roe versus Wade, the legal aspect of it. Chuck read the opinion, how it ties into this, the Supreme Court other ruling, the gun ruling, to the Second Amendment ruling. We hope to have Casper Stockham with us here in a second. He was fined for after somebody filed accusations that he violated campaign finance laws, and some establishment types are making a big deal about this, saying
Gary Kirkland and he should be
sent to the gulag. And wanted to just point out that there have been plenty of other Republicans, Bob Beaupre, shall we say,
who's been constantly fined,
and
Colorado politics that does not follow it or care.
No one cares, right?
Hillary Clinton's been fined, so it's all ado about nothing.
And I kind of think if anyone thinks Casper Stockham is like, if this is some kind of like the Clinton campaign, you know, kind of thing. Think again. So he wanted to talk about his side. And then we have coming up at 3:30, Kevin Lundberg, former state senator. I know I subscribe and we'll let him talk about this to the Lundberg letter.
You got to get it. If you don't get it, you got to get it.
That's right. This is from Leo with the 2A ruling, the pro-abortion can carry a gun. Mm. Oh, there you go. And shoot babies. So it turns out that's dark humor. Mm. All you cancel culture people, dark humor. And that was Leo's dark humor, not us. I see. Hey, TJ, Casper's entered the waiting room, so we can go ahead and grab him as soon as we admit him. But I think we got to set the record straight. If you would, again, with the left, I guess they're grabbing onto this as much as they can because they don't have anything else going on, right? And so, but Chuck and I differ on how much of a impact it will have. You think it might have some, I think none.
Okay.
But we have Casper there. Casper, go ahead. I saw you briefly come to life there. You can go ahead and unmute yourself. And so
everybody, if you don't know Casper Stockholm, he's run for three different congressional districts. And he's, I think, a favorite of a lot of conservatives, one of the really few hard driving Republicans in the minority community, always trying to get minority involvement in the Republican Party. He's on the executive committee along with me, and just a great guy. He's been dogged by Gary Kirkland, this booming Southern guy who seems to be all a Twitter because of minor violations, FCC violations. I was at a Tea Party meeting.
Yeah, we were at when we first brought it up.
Yeah, we first brought it up, and he was there on behalf of Steve House, and Gary and Casper was in running in 7,
CD7 is a congressional candidate.
And after Kirkland got booed by everyone. everyone loved Casper.
They were accusing you of taking money and using it for personal expenses, blah, blah, blah. At which point our friend Joe stood up and said, even if he's doing that, I don't care. He's like, Casper is a great guy. He needs all the help he can get. So Casper,
let me finish. And then everybody took a vote on who to be prefer.
Couple.
Casper won overwhelmingly, although you can't give all yourself credit. Casper, because Steve just alienated so many people that anybody who thought of voting for Steve has I'm not going along with that guy.
Oh, Gary Kirkland did. Yeah, he was so awful. So why don't you explain what's going on? And like I said, we wanted to give you an opportunity to, because while the hearings and proceedings are going on, usually, you know, everybody tells you don't say anything, right? But why don't give you an opportunity to say your, to tell your side?
Yeah. Yeah. So all that's over now. It's closed. But of course, the folks like Gary Kirkland, Jory Overbeck, and Ernest, and others have decided to dredge it up again to try to embarrass me some more or something. But that meeting you talked about, the Tea Party meeting, you know, that was literally over 2.5, almost years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So this has been going on for a while, and it really popped up because I was a major threat to Steve House. Had I been able to stay in the CD6 race, I believe I would have beat him at assembly. And that would have been a horrible thing for the establishment, because now they have to support me in CD6. So that would have been a mess. But anyway, I wanted to come on to clear some of the misconceptions that are in the article, okay, the hit piece that Ernest wrote.
Because in Colorado politics, right?
Colorado politics, yeah. So they did a follow-up, a follow-up hit piece. And, you know, it assumed that I had this shell corporation called UBG Online. And a lot of the rulings and the negative in the article was based upon this shell corporation. Well, first of all, it's my company. It's a sole proprietorship, LLC. I've had it since 2003.
Okay.
So it didn't just pop up so that I could start, you know, funneling money into it.
Right.
Now, it hasn't been, you know, it's been a part-time thing for me. It hasn't been my main gig. It's been part-time. So I have done computer work. I've done all kinds of things through that, marketing and so forth. I manage like 10 different Facebook pages right now.
Wow.
And a lot of those I manage for free because they're nonprofits trying to get going. Right.
Sure.
But I've also charged people as well. And when I do, I use UBG Online to charge people. So so it's not a shell organization or company that I, you know, I have all the funds going to Geneva or somewhere.
Yeah.
You know? When you're running for office, especially someone that doesn't have, you know, is just not flush with cash, it's expensive. And you have to either decide to kind of have a halfway run campaign or go full time into it. So I decided to go full time into it, but I needed revenue. I'm not a multimillionaire.
Right.
I needed
right.
to be able to pay my bills in the process. So I have a company, and I was doing the work. I have invoices to the campaign showing them doing the work. I thought that was fine. In fact, I thought it was so fine that I did it through all three of my campaigns. It wasn't like I was trying to hide or maneuver money.
Right.
It was something that I did because I either have to do the work or pay somebody to do the work. Right. Or find somebody to volunteer to do the work.
Right.
Right. But if I can do a website, why can't the campaign pay me to do the website?
Right.
So
you're saying, so they find you saying that you couldn't, essentially,
yeah,
but you're saying not only were you not hiding this, you've done it before and no one complained, and you did it assuming that it was okay. And
exactly.
Again, and we're not talking, I'm assuming, Casper, because I've known you for a while, we're not talking millions of dollars here.
No. In fact, I almost went bankrupt during this 10-year process trying to run for office because it's expensive.
Sure. Right.
And, you know, I was able to maintain to some degree, but, you know, I'm not driving a Lexus. I'm driving a 2017 Nissan Versa, not right. even a Maxima. Right? I'm driving a Versa, you know, and we're okay, but I'm just saying it wasn't something that I was able to really just rake in all this money.
It wasn't like the well. And here's what my
Even Kirkland in the article said it was the FCC did a slap on the wrist, which is what it was. So you wouldn't think it would warrant
this massive attention. Well, are people calling for you to be sent to the gulag?
You're a grassroots conservative. Ernst Lunning hates grassroots conservatives. Colorado politics hates grassroots conservatives. Yep. And so but reading the article, go, whoopee.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I had to, when I talked to the FEC and stuff, and you know, and they were very nice people, by the way.
Okay.
I have no issues with the FEC. They were very respectful. I was respectful to them. They were respectful to me. But what they realized after they looked into my finances is that I couldn't afford to pay the fine that they wanted to charge me with. So they wind up reducing the fine, and it's public now, $2,400. I said I could pay it in 12 months. They gave me 2 years to pay it.
Well, so, And what I want to point out to people too is, number one, campaign finance law is confusing. Then number two, you get people like Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi and all these people who just totally
pay their daughter $100,000.
The other thing is, even here in Colorado, Matt Arnold, who we've had with Campaign Integrity Watchdog, has sued the Bob Beaupre people and all endlessly, and he keeps winning, and they fine them, and then they don't pay, and they fine them hundreds and hundreds and thousands of dollars. You've got Wayne Williams who got fined. I mean, there have been plenty of other people who have been fined or have been found to have, run
afoul. Scott Gessler got fined.
Right, exactly. And nobody says they need to drop out of the party. They need to drop their position in the party. You know, we can't have Bob Beaupre being calling himself a Republican anymore. I mean, the social media outrage over this
it's all ginned up by Joy and a few others.
Right. Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah.
No one
cares. And Joy calls me a grifter, and I'm like, okay.
Well, that's like, so,
like really?
Well, so, you're not doing a very good job of it, Casper. You need to be a better grifter if you're going to be a grifter.
Tell me about it. Yeah. So anyway, I just thought it was worth coming on you guys' show, and thank you for letting me come on and kind of explaining my side. You know, at the end of the day, I made a. Really what it comes down to, and I have to actually go in and change the records to reflect, it was I actually reported more than what I should have reported.
Oh, there you go.
Because had I just called it a candidate salary, the majority of this complaint would have been thrown out.
Right.
But because what they looked at was, they said that the money that I paid to my company was actually campaign salary. So I have to go back in the reports and change that to campaign salary. But understand, even with that, it still was less than what I was allowed to pay myself during the campaign.
Well, you had a bootstrap campaign. I know people paid Matt Arnold large sums to do their campaign finance one because they're so complicated and they're just so easy to get run afoul of them.
Yeah.
And an FCC fine of $2,400 is
that you have 2 years to pay.
2 years to pay. Sort
well,
of
I mean, that shows how seriously they take it. And so the main thing that really annoyed me about it is the fact that this is being made a deal by anyone at all. Like I said, I would like to see the Colorado Politics article on all of the money that the Bob Beaupre people owe and fines as a result of the Matt Arnold lawsuits. Right. You never see anything about that. No one covers it, right? And everybody else, it's like, it's always like, oh, it's like the people are filing these complaints out of political animosity. Well, that's exactly what happened with you.
I got to tell you, if they do protest down at the GOP headquarters to get me kicked off of the executive committee, I'm going to go join them.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. You shouldn't have to be sentenced to that penal code.
Forcing me to serve on that committee is not.
That'll be your penalty. And still they'll say, no, we're going to punish him by forcing. Well, again, it's like so many things. You know, when we had Dick Wadhams on last week and he was talking about Tina Peters under criminal investigation, she's being, she was indicted for essentially calling the Secretary of State. So, I mean, it's like, did you read it? They want to just blow everything up and they twist things and they make, and it's just, it's wrong, right? And you have fought as hard as anyone in Colorado, harder for the Colorado Republican Party.
I think so,
And you have, and you try to train candidates. You do more work for the Republican Party. And I guess people, you know, you must be over the target. Otherwise, it wouldn't be shooting at you so hard.
Yeah, and they're still shooting at me. I'm not even running right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. So when all this was going down, you know, I did some of my own background research on Mr. Kirkland. But he's reached out to me and told me that all the information that I found on him is not him. So even though it's Gary with two R's, and even though it's got the same middle name and the same last name, and even though it was in Texas and the age is right where it's supposed to be, and the address is right, it is not him. So I just want to let you know that the criminal background record that I found on Gary Kirkland is not Gary. It's not our Gary Kirkland.
Okay.
It's a totally different Gary Kirkland, because he's promised me and told me that is not him. He has an 800 and something, whatever FICO score, and he's a financial advisor. So, you know, he has an impeccable record. So it could not be him. So I just want to let your audience know that what I found is not him.
All right. Well, let me ask you before we let you go, what are you up to now these days?
So right now I am campaign manager for two campaigns, and they're paying UBG Online. Crazy.
Okay.
How crazy it is. Yes. So I'm a campaign manager for Stephanie Hancock. She's running in House District 41.
Okay.
She is a phenomenal candidate. I got to get her on the podcast. You got to
love
let
her. Us know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Ron Bouchard is running for Arapahoe County Coroner. Also a great guy. He's got some phenomenal information. Very, very, very detailed information about what's going on with the vaccines and all this stuff. So,
oh, wow. Okay.
I am running those two campaigns. I'm trying to stay above water and trying to fight the rhinos. And
I know. It's like, if you don't tell the rhinos, just leave us alone. Quit, you know, go ahead. Try to get your people.
Do they ever do it against Democrats? No, they just do it against grassroots.
Right. No, exactly. No. Exactly.
Yeah. And if this was a Democrat attacking me, I would understand it. But guys, understand, other than the short time that I was running against Steve House, I have not had a primary. It's just been me.
Yeah.
And they're spending money to take me out of a general election, and I'm the only Republican running in that seat. So it's crazy.
It is crazy. Well, Casper, thank you for coming on and setting the record straight and telling your side. We appreciate it. And keep doing. Don't let them get you down. I know you don't.
Steve wants to know how the Republicans will do in the midterms in Colorado.
Are you asking me?
Your opinion.
Yeah, my opinion is Colorado's going to stay blue for a while.
Okay.
We're going to talk about the same thing with Kevin Lundberg coming up here. So, Casper, thank you.
Thanks, Casper.
Thanks for your time.
Take care, guys.
There you go. Yeah, we'll talk about that with Kevin Lundberg and get his prediction. Real quick, want to talk a little bit, Roe v. Wade. There are some people doing the story myth versus fact. I mean, again, you listen to the left and the world is ending. Michelle Obama's heartbroken. It's just ridiculous. You can still get, because it is significant. What the Supreme Court did is they threw it back to the states, right? They said there's nothing in the Constitution that guarantees
you,
women or men, a right to an abortion.
Or transgender people.
Right.
They did not, conversely, say that abortion is a unconstitutional action. There's no right to life for the unborn or everything else. So it goes back to the states, places like Colorado. You can kill them up to, I don't know how.
There's no limit. In Colorado, there's no limit on when you can have an abortion. So I don't know what that would mean if, say, the baby's just been born. We don't know, but it's one of the most liberal rules or laws in the world, essentially. And, you know, when Joe Biden says things like, oh, what that makes us an outlier, it's like, no, it doesn't. The United States was the outlier from the rest of the world with the ridiculous abortion laws that we had, and then and Roe versus Wade. So it just sends it back to where it belongs, I think. If a state and a community want to allow abortions, then they can elect people and they can pass laws that do that. If they don't, then they can do that. In 18 states, I think now abortion is going to be, for the most part, illegal. There are some states, I mean, everybody has their own little mix.
Yeah, it'll be illegal in Mississippi, so you have to go to Louisiana. I mean, it's...
And all these woke, this is what really annoys me, all of these woke companies today put out these heart-wrenching emails saying, if our employees need to go get an abortion, we will pay for it. Well, number one, if you're the HR person, I'm not sure how many people necessarily need to have an abortion in any given year in any given corporation, right? But number two, if I were in that company, I would be like, oh, I have to get an abortion in the Caribbean. And they'd be like, Julie, you're 64. I'm like, well, I still need one. I need one. I mean, give me a break. It's
like, if they want to pay for it, pay for it.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Go for it.
I mean, they can, you know, they may not pay them good wages. They may not give them good benefits. Their health insurance might suck. But they'll pay for the abortion.
Well, you know, I would hope that they would say, what if somebody maybe wanted to get to a good fertility clinic? They have some of the best of those in Colorado. Will they pay for them to go there? Will they pay for you to go through whatever it is you need to do for adoptions? I mean, will they help people in who are trying to encourage life and trying to support life? No, they won't do that. It's just, if you want to kill a baby, these woke corporations will help you do that.
And
hopefully Netflix fired another 300 people today. Disney stock is less than half it was at this time a year ago. So, hey, keep it up, guys. You aren't going to have any money to pay for your employees to get abortions. You know, but the question is, and we want to talk to Kevin Lundberg too here about it in a little bit, is what kind of impact do you think that will have on the election, Chuck? Oh, wait, let me read some of the comments, right? From Leo, if I identify as a pregnant woman in Texas, will Amazon fly me to California for an abortion and vacation? Or are they going to tell me I'm not a woman? Leo, that's a really good point.
No, they
can't tell you that. So you could say you need an abortion. And I think it would probably be violating your rights to show some sort of proof of pregnancy, right? I can imagine if I were an employee there, I'd be like, I need an abortion. Chuck needs an abortion.
No, I absolutely do.
You know, Leo, you need one. We all need one. So let's all go on vacation on a cruise. You could get cruise ships. This from Jim: the killing of the most innocent, the most helpless among us is the most vile crime a human being can commit. And then Karen Cataline said, oh, back to the, let's take up a collection to buy Joy Overbeck another pair of shoes. She's gone through life as if her shoes were too tight. Garrett, I'm not commenting on that, but because we have Joy on the show. There are some things I agree with her on. I just don't agree with her making a big deal out of what happened to Casper. It's like, you know,
she can be pretty mean.
Yeah. So, but what your take, Chuck? I want to back up here. I'm going all over the place. I'm sorry. I'm drinking my caffeinated sparkling water again. With the gun ruling too, compare that the recent Supreme Court ruling with the gun ruling.
Well, the gun ruling previously in the Heller case, which was the first of the modern ones upholding gun rights, they said in Washington, D.C., you could own a gun in your own home. But that didn't apply to states because Washington, D.C. is not a separate state. So in the McDonald case, they extended it to states. And the question is, are you allowed to have a gun outside of the home? Is there just in the home? You can only have it in the home or just home. They said, no, you can have it
outside. Doesn't the Constitution differentiate between that?
And so the world, and they've all gone crazy on that one, too.
I thought it was a concealed carry.
It was, yes. but the concealed carry is outside of your own home. You know, can you have it in your car? Can you have it?
Well, as I understand it, there was a law in New York that was very particular in terms of who they were allowing to have concealed carry permits.
It's called the needs. You have to show a need for it. And different states, different people, different jurisdictions would rule totally differently on who
and
needs
and didn't the Supreme Court say you can't do that anymore?
No, you cannot just say you can't have blank discretion on telling somebody they can't.
Now,
have
here's
one.
Where I see this is good, as we've talked about this on the show before. The federal government, the Democrats, want to federalize everything, and they want everything, you know, the judge at the courts to rule on everything, and they want to pat the courts in their favor. What I see is very encouraging about this is, again, the Supreme Court isn't telling people you have to have a gun or you can't have a gun. They're not saying you can't have an abortion or you have to have an abortion. They're saying these are not issues addressed by the Constitution. The Constitution doesn't say anything about that. The Constitution doesn't say only certain circumstances you have to need. You don't have to show a need to have a gun. It seems to me that that is really good, that this is a
pushback.
Well,
as Leo pointed out, this is, shall not be infringed upon, the right to bear arms shall not be infringed upon. So it's interesting. I mean, you know, Congress.
I think it's not more than interesting. I think it's great.
Well, it's great, except you look at Congress, who now the 15 senators and 14 House members voted for the most extensive gun restrictions since the 1990s.
Now, what do you think?
John Cornyn, you know, all these red flag laws that we know are just horrendous. And so, you know, you just have the same old Gary Kirklands going out there and going
the other way. What do you think, though, the Supreme Court ruling? I mean, it seems to me the Supreme Court is saying, okay, well, if you can't, you can't be so specific in terms of you have to show a need, right? I would think that the same court then, which is what we have with these new gun laws that Congress is trying to pass, it would also be the same thing, right? Would this be thrown under the same infringement?
Somebody's got to bring the case, you know.
Right, I mean, but if it does and if it gets up, I would think this would be hopeful.
Well, I don't know what they'd rule because all the hysteria about the red flag laws is that, you know, it's going to stop school shootings. And of course, even I am not for school shootings, notwithstanding a joke. It's hard to know. They probably wouldn't take the case.
They're like, okay, we've done enough. We've done enough for a while. We're not going to know people are protesting. Right. Well, and here again is a hypocrisy, right? Now they're Maxine Waters is saying we're going to defy the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, I'm not sure how she is going to personally defy the U.S. Supreme Court. And she's from California where they have, again, very liberal abortion.
Well, it's interesting that this congressional thing is just a money pot of states that have red flag laws and other things. And so it's just a way of Democrats greasing the skids for Democrats with the help of pathetic Republicans. You know, Mitch McConnell and his merry band of people are just revolting.
Well, it's a uniparty. They're all protecting their best interests in the uniparty. I did find it interesting. I mean, both sides have geared up. Shortly after the Roe versus Wade decision came down, I got an email, a mass email from Jeff Hunt with Frank McNulty, who's a consultant, launching the Colorado Pro-Life Fund to try to elect anti-abortion lawmakers in Colorado. And I thought to myself,
Frank's a rhino. So if you want to give your money to elect pro-life people, I wouldn't give it to a rhino.
Right. Well, I imagine he's a consultant, but here's
He's a consultant. He's going to get the money you give to quote unquote elect pro-life people who really will just be rhinos.
Right. Who will just pocket the money. I mean, I just found that kind of interesting because I thought to myself, one, here in Colorado, Coloradans have voted. I mean, every election cycle, there is some kind of anti-abortion measure on the ballot. And every time people in Colorado vote it down overwhelmingly, you know, I mean, it's always just a matter of more or less overwhelmingly. And even some that you'd think there would be support for, right? The due date, too late bill, things like that. And that Coloradans are just not going to, at least in my opinion, pass any kind of anti-abortion law. I mean, not.
Well, yeah, but give Frank your money.
Well, yeah, but I thought it was interesting. And I think that's what I'm going to get to in terms of the political implications, because this is what I predict, that there's going to be a whole lot of organizations fundraising off of this.
Yeah, but lots of rhino ones who will take your money and try to get rhinos elected. So, you know, here's from Dr. Donna. Colorado's red flag law was supported by a Republican. May have played a part in him not being elected Attorney General of Colorado, you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
He just endorsed Joe O'Day, who's for Roe v. Wade.
So it's
interesting. I just got his email saying he's endorsing Joe O'Day.
There you go. Hey, we have Kevin Lundberg with us now, former Senator Kevin Lundberg, puts out the Lundberg letter, which I subscribe to, which is great. Hey, sir, go ahead. Are you unmuted? We can see you. How are you doing?
I'm unmuted. Can you
hear me? There you go.
You kind of caught me in the car. I just was coming from a meeting and I'd be glad to interact, but I'm not in my studio setting.
That's all right. We have lots of car conversations.
Exactly. Well, let me ask you before we get into, you know, your letter and some of your picks for the primary. Do I get your opinion in terms of the Roe v. Wade decision? What kind of impact, if any, do you think it will have in the general election coming up?
Well, that's a really good question that I think we've got to see what the reaction is from the left on this, because, you know, there are a lot of us that really fear they're going to overreact. And my guess is that that will actually hurt them in the election because of their extreme, response on this. My hope is that they accept it as a statement from the Supreme Court and they didn't like it. Well, I've seen a lot of statements from the, decisions that I've so we will have to wait and see. It does kind of separate the sheep from the goats, to use a somewhat biblical term. I got to figure out who really will stand up and say, yes, we support life, or on the other hand, those who are going to insist that they've got to have their rights to abortion.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Well, what do you think it's going to result with Joe O'Day, who is indicated?
Well, I think it underscores the dramatic difference he is from the from the average Republican.
Right.
And here in Colorado and really nationwide are decidedly pro-life.
Right.
And you have to understand this too, that the decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, and I'm sure you've probably already discussed this, doesn't eliminate abortion.
Right.
Back at the level it belongs constitutionally, which is among the individual states.
Right.
Here in Colorado, I regret to say that it's not going to change anything.
Yeah.
But some states, yes, it's going to let their laws go into effect or encourage them to pass laws that will put restrictions on killing unborn children.
Right.
Well, let's talk about the Lundberg report a little bit, and I want to give you my kudos. I mean, in the grassroots, we're always referred to by people like Peter Boyles as crazies, and in some cases that's probably
we are.
but
doesn't mean we're wrong.
I don't think anybody's ever accused you of being a crazy. I have to admit that you gave out your endorsements, as we'll talk about, but if I have a candidate, if I have an office in which I don't know anything about the person, and Kevin Lundberg endorsed somebody,
yeah,
I'd take that endorsement and vote for that person.
Well,
because I think he really does reflect grassroots conservatism here in Colorado.
I try to be as transparent as possible in a very short package. I got into the publishing of the Lundberg report, which is a weekly report that I put up on my website. I used to send it out via email, but then the email servers started to cancel if they didn't like what I said. I thought, okay, I'll just put it on my website. I'll send out email reminders so people can
feel
kind of a weekly thing. Usually do it every Saturday. However, this week I put a special, I accelerated it by a few days and put it out a couple of days ago now.
Let me give your website, because I know we'll get people asking you. So what's your website where they can go?
Well, it's kevinlundberg.com.
And
click on Lundberg Report. They're on the menu that's up at the top. And you see this week's and actually all the previous weeks. Is in kind of a line that you kind of scroll down. And then if you want to go further on it, I've got archives, because from time to time I'll move, several months worth away from that page, because it actually gets
right.
Well, it's a must read, and
yeah,
you really are not going to read anything about true conservatism in Colorado on the Colorado Sun, Colorado Politics, Denver Gazette, Denver Post, or anything else. And so it's one of the things.
The way I do this, I got into the habit of doing this initially when I was in the legislature, spent 16 years down there. And the first few years, at the end of the week or at the end of the session, I would look back and say, I wonder what happened. and I need to push it off to others. And so I had different forms through the years, but it pretty much settled down to a simple newsletter with, two, three, maybe four items on it that are of special significance, mostly Colorado focused. But sometimes there's a national big something, and I'll go that direction. I don't try to overwhelm people with a lot of reading. Try to keep people plenty of links, though. you can probably watch all the links, you know, the rest of the week sometime.
But, no, you do a great job.
And the way I collect this is every day I'm just scoring through, you know, I get a few hundred emails every day and other things that come my way. I stay actively engaged with the political arena here in Colorado and across the nation. And it's not everything, but it's the things that really stand out that I believe people maybe aren't hearing the rest of the story on or need to.
Exactly. Well, let's talk about your primary picks then. I mean, let's start with governor, your primary pick.
Yeah, well, let me say one thing overall on my primary picks first. And that is when I look back over, because I just try to pick the people that I think will do the best job when they get there.
Right.
And, you know, I don't believe in first saying, well, who's most electable as much as who's going to be the best representative for our issues. And as I look through all of my picks this year, and I think I've got 10 people up there right now, you know, I do the statewide things. Of the competitive races, I'll leave the other stuff till the general election. And then I have a few local things up in Larimer County where I'm at and surrounding areas. But I noticed that almost without exception, I'm picking the people who won their assembly.
Yes.
Point that out, that the people I've endorsed are the people that were endorsed by their assembly, be it the state assembly or their district assembly, their county assembly. So for governor, my choice is Greg Lopez.
Okay.
And I don't think there are as strong a differences between the two candidates there as the races for Secretary of State and for U.S. Senate. But nonetheless, when I look at Greg, and I've known Greg pretty well because I ran for treasurer 4 years ago, wasn't successful, but I got to know everybody else who was on the campaign trail. Greg was running for governor back then.
Yeah. And
I started at the bottom of the barrel with obviously no funds and nobody except him out there. But every time he would speak, a few more people would be listening and realizing, you know, this guy's making some sense.
Right. And
by the time we got to the state assembly, he didn't make the top of the ticket.
No.
But or the ballot, I should say, top of the ballot. But he came in second, and it was a pretty crowded field. And it showed that, A, if you're persistent and if you have a good message and you present yourself well, that people will pay attention. So Greg has, been very persistent and has stuck with it. And he's running a serious campaign this year.
Yeah.
And when I listened to, well, and I got to know Greg a bit, and I realized this guy sees the political environment pretty much the way I do. So I'm pretty confident in his principles, and I know he's going to hang in there. And frankly, yeah, there's another thing that, you know, I say I don't pick somebody that's electable, but I do want somebody who will be elected.
Right.
And I believe that Greg Lopez has an advantage because he's been very active in the Hispanic community here in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big block, which it traditionally we just think, the Democrats get that vote.
Right.
Well, not now.
John what about
jumped off the left edge?
Right.
You know, and common sense, you know, traditional values of Hispanics are looking around, and I think Greg's a great attraction.
I think the Democrats in their attempts to meddle are actually helping him, right? Getting the name recognition out there.
Yeah, that's the crazy part, you know, and of course, we're seeing that in more than just his race.
Right.
And there's a lot of finger pointing as to how come this is happening. And, you know, if there's anybody to be blamed, it's those who stepped out on the Republican side who said, well, so-and-so is unelectable.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Mission to the left to come and play in this open primary system here in Colorado, which, you know, you guys know, you're right on board with me that we've got to change this, but it's reality this time. So
there you go. Absolutely. So hopefully it backfires on him.
How about U.S. Senator?
Well, for U.S. Senator, I think there's a very stark difference.
Yes.
First, there's the guy who the state assembly chose over all the other candidates.
Right.
And that's Hanks.
Right.
And I've known Ron for a couple of years now, and he's my choice. he came in the state legislature in 2020, and he impressed me when I started to talk with him. His military background, his commitment to issues, and then I've watched him over the last 2 years just really stick with it.
Right.
He's not afraid to take on the tough issues, but he has a good balanced understanding of international politics.
Okay. Yes.
Intelligence in the Air Force for over 30 years. And I just look at all of those skills he has, and I believe he'll make a great addition to the United States Senate.
Yeah.
And now that's on the plus side. Let me give you the negative side.
Okay.
Which I told Ron the first time when we talked about it, I said, you know, in a normal year, I don't think you'd get very far because people want a really polished, you know, guy who just looks and acts like a senator. Well, Ron acts like an everyday American. You know, I think he relates to the blue collar worker, and yet he has that intelligence to really cut through the issues and understand really what we're talking about. And you know, so I told him on a normal year, you'd probably be passed over because people were looking for somebody with a, you know, little more twinkle in their on their polished teeth or something like that.
Well, you can just look at the Democratic primary in Pennsylvania, or Mr. Fetterman, who you know comes across as a biker, and the person he beat came in with, you know, the perfect polished teeth and everything else, and the Democrats said nope, we want the other guy. So I think you're right. I think the everybody just looking for the polished cute guy is that this isn't that year.
No, well, okay, then you throw in
New Jersey, the truck driver who knocked out
right.
Well, and then you throw in Joe O'Day contributes to Democrats. I mean, he's kind of like not Republican on any issue, let alone conservative. And then he donates to he donated to Michael Bennett. So it's like, I mean, there's that. Let me jump into then one of the more controversial ones, Secretary of State. Do you have a pick there?
Absolutely. Tina Peters, because she's courage. She's got the knowledge. She understands what needs to happen in that arena. And unfortunately, her opponents, you know, she has two of them. One just kind of jumped in the race at the last minute. That's O'Donnell. And I don't think he's got much of a chance of actually winning, but he's certainly kind of the spoiler. And I don't know which direction he's going to spoil.
Is it going to be the spoiler for Pam Anderson or the? It's hard to say, I think.
And Anderson is the exact opposite of Tina Peters. Anderson wants to say, oh, we've got a gold standard. There are no problems here in Colorado. And then to boot, she is tied in with the organization that did more to corrupt the 2020 election than probably any other group in the nation. And that's, you know, Center for Tech and Civic
Life.
Center for Rigging Elections. No, the Zuckerbergs,
He's the corporate secretary for the board for that organization. And it's a little tight board, you know, four or five members. And they're the ones that, of course, took the hundreds of millions of Zuckerberg dollars and spread most of them in high Democrat-producing areas so they can get out the vote.
Well, right.
And in the swing states, I mean, this is, if you wrote it into a movie script, they say, oh, that's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
We couldn't do that.
Well, how about CD8 where we live?
Well, in CD8, and this is the brand new seat, so we don't have any income. We've got some competition in the Republican primary, and I'm a strong supporter of Lori Sane.
Okay.
And the reason being is I served with her. She was in the House. I was in the Senate. And I discovered Lori is one of the most reliable conservative votes that you can have. And I believe that Lori can, you know, stand side by side with Lauren Boebert and some of the other real champions that we've got in the U.S. House right now. And I think she can help contribute to a majority in the House.
Yeah.
So that we can, you know, at least control Biden a bit, if not overwhelm him.
Well, unfortunately, Barb Kirkmeyer has run a pretty, at least in my opinion, dirty campaign.
That's unfortunate, Todd.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, and gentlemen, I will say this too, and hopefully Lori's out there doing this today, because we haven't turned in our ballots yet, right? Because I'm just waiting to do that on the election day. But a volunteer for Jan Thulman, who's the other candidate, knocked on the door, and he had his little list, right? So clearly she's got volunteers out there knocking on at least Republican doors of people who probably haven't turned their ballots in. So hopefully, which frankly kind of surprised me, hopefully Lori's out there doing the same thing. But I agree with you. We support her as well.
Yeah. And it's a brand new district, so we really don't know how it's going to perform. And again, it's a very interesting year. I'm definitely a fan for Lori on that.
And one more. How about CD7, which we used to be part of?
We've got three strong candidates running on the Republican side. And they're... I go back to, I want the person who I think is going to represent our values most effectively in U.S. Congress. And that's Laura Eimer. I think she is definitely the pick among the three. Now, I'm not going to really, as I say, I think they're all strong candidates. So I want to be fair to everybody.
Okay.
But, or it's Laurel. Is it Laurel or Lori?
Laurel. Well, and she's been there. I kind of agree with you, Drew. I don't know very much about Tim Riker. We've had Eric Odlin on our show. And I put it this way. It's not so much that I'm against Eric. It's just that Laurel has been talking the talk and walking the talk for years. And so I don't see her changing if she gets, not that Eric would necessarily, but I just mean, we backed her before Eric even entered the race. So,
yeah. To use some code word, she's the Make America Great candidate.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. Exactly.
Well, how do you think just generally Colorado is going to do this election cycle?
What are you talking about? Who are you talking about again?
Just the state generally, how the state will do generally.
I was thinking you named something. I'm like, I don't know. If this isn't the year of opportunity for conservatives in Colorado, we're not going to find one.
Yeah.
You can actually see that because Polis is trying to act like a conservative.
Yeah.
I've got to point out, though, don't be fooled. This guy has been in charge over the most radical changes in Colorado's history.
Yes.
So
anytime, if he wants to claim that he's a tax cutter, I'm sorry.
For giving out the Tabor refund. It's
big of him.
Well, I'm telling everybody, Polis wants to take credit for that. Well, that's a Douglas Bruce thing.
Yes, right. Yes.
Yes, exactly.
That's just amazing.
But right before the election, so everybody will think kindly about that. And he's going to talk about how he's had moderate tendencies here and there. But you look at what he signed into law. And the issues he's taken on, like shutting down oil and gas. And first time, we always say, Joe Biden did that. Well, Jared Polis did it to us here in Colorado in a big way.
He did it first.
Pump, but it's the fact that he's destroying the industry here in the state.
Yeah,
exactly.
Up in my neck of the woods, somebody put up a sign, "Why does Jared Polis hate oil and gas?"
Yeah.
For example, he's an environmental extremist who can't count, I guess. He can't figure out that if you don't have proper energy, nothing's going to work. And
he's pretty good at counting ballot harvesting.
Yeah,
he's good at ballot harvesting.
I'll tell you what, as we get further into the fall, people are going to see more and more the problems that are occurring because there's no cure in sight for this economy.
No.
They're just doing it worse and worse. And Polis is one of the leaders of the pack. And, he's the guy who shoved all of our clean air standards into California's rules.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
What California does, we get to live with.
Right.
And it's tougher. Yeah. Here's an example. People haven't seen this one yet, but they will in the next few years. And that is that the California standards assume everybody drives little tiny cars.
Yeah.
And about half of California cars are. Well, 3/4 of the cars in Colorado are either pickups or SUVs.
There's good reason.
You got five in the winter mountains.
Right.
And we cannot live by California standards on what they want for vehicles. You know, there are just a lot of dysfunctional things there. And
that he's bringing here. Well, Kevin, I don't mean to interrupt you, but we got to let you go now. But okay. Thank you for coming.
Thank you so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, we'll have you back. We'll see. We agree with you on all of your picks. So,
well, thank you. And yeah, if you want to learn more, kevinlundberg.com, go to the Lundberg Report. It's all
perfect.
That's great. Thank you, Kevin. Take care.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, and I really do highly recommend it. He does a great job, and it's fantastic.
But it's, you know, it's a real conservative. I mean, there's very few sources of news about Colorado politics that is as good as the Lundberg Report. It's just great.
He needs to have his own aggregator website. And there were a ton of great comments there, guys. I'm sorry we didn't get to all of them. But we're out of time again already on
all
this
right.
Friday.
There you go.
Yeah, a lot. There's so much happening. Somebody, every time people say to me, they ask, well, what are you guys going to talk about? I'm like, I don't know. It's only 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Between now and the time we go on, there could be so much. Hey, thank you to Kevin. Thank you to Casper. We love having all of you guys on Zoom. Remember, you can catch all of our shows at chuckandjulie.com. You can subscribe to us there as well. I appreciate everybody who does that.
And we'll see you Monday. And the Tuesday will be a very interesting day to see how everything goes.
That's right. Okay. We will see everybody
later. Bye-bye, everybody.
Have a great party Friday.
Take care.